Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your word. Your word that shares with us the strength of Peter. Your word that shares with us the doubts and the confusions of the disciples. Your word that shares with us the grace and truth and the power of your Son. May we hear all of these words and find within them a kernel of truth that you have for us, that we need for the living of our lives. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Harvey Prince, in 1995, shared the following story about an experience that he'd had on vacation in northern Minnesota. He said, when our three daughters were quite young, each Saturday night in a small town near the lake that we stayed on, there was a community dance. It was in a hall over the hardware store. Lots of polkas and waltzes and easy dancing music that was made for a young family to dance together. Among the well-behaved crowd of local people and tourists was a young man who had significantly too much to drink. He was obnoxious, he was uncoordinated, and he was dancing with every one of the young ladies and their mothers among the local folks. I would have expected every one of those women to have turned him down flat and told him to get sober and get a life. But that was not the case. There had to be a story here. So I asked one of the women whose daughter had cheerfully taken her turn dancing with the young man. What was going on? Oh, she said, Tom's brother wandered off into the woods last winter, and a terrible storm with deep cold hit us. His brother became lost in spite of Tom's best efforts to find his brother. He could not, and his brother died of exposure to the cold. Since that time, Tom has never forgiven himself. It wasn't his fault, but Tom can't quite see that yet. In the meantime, Tom drinks too much at times, I guess to drown out the pain in his heart. Our community has decided to keep him here at the dances so he doesn't wander off. Each one of the girls and mothers takes turns dancing with him so he knows that we love him and understand his pain. One of these days, we hope he will be right again. He really is a nice boy. We've all heard mantras that say something like, when the going gets tough, escape and save yourself. One of the terms we have for that is cocooning, which is the idea of withdrawing into your home when things are hard and eat takeout food, watch movies, drink, curl up on the sofa with a blanket over you. We retreat into ourselves to protect ourselves. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus are on their way home to escape, to cocoon in order to get over their shock, their hurt, their disbelief at all that had happened in Jerusalem. Pastoral therapist and writer Peter Wirtz writes about these disciples. Two disillusioned disciples who have loved and lost now have to attempt to find where they can pick up the pieces and possibly resurrect their lives. Their incredulity at their unrecognized companion on the road is symptomatic of their post-traumatic stress, PTSD. That condition of numbness where the adrenaline of shock drains away and leaves the mind unable to find a place to re-engage its grip. It's an all too frequent human phenomenon. He goes on to say, having just experienced shocking news as I write this, there is a narrative numinosity radiating from this all too well-known passage, inviting me to examine its unfolding for my own healing. There is in me at times of crisis the instinctive reaction, it wants to flee from a confusing context and just get myself home. Like the disciples, I want to get the hell out of Dodge and find something familiar. Coffee, red wine, or chocolate in some extravagant ratio will usually do the trick. Emmaus, it's where we go to escape. It is, as writer Frederick Buechner says, Emmaus is whatever we do or wherever we go to make ourselves forget that the world holds nothing sacred. At times like these, we just want to go home and hide from the good and the worst of humanity. We seek solitary seclusion from the horrible world. And yet, there are those times when we recognize that we're not alone. Someone else is walking with us. The one walking with us supports us, holds us up, gives us the strength to keep putting one foot in front of the other, and draws us back into life and living. Of course, that someone is Jesus. Peter Woods writes, "There comes a moment when my heart, rather than my head, recognizes that this one who is walking with me has something I need more of. If I listen to the impulse, I also subliminally understand that to allow them to pass me by in this moment would be to miss a mystical moment and, worse even, avoid healing. It is then that my deepest soul wisdom finds this prayer and offers it through the fog of confusion and pain. Stay with me, Lord, stay with me, for the day is ending, and soon it will be night." Christ walks with us on our Emmaus roads, gently calling us back to rejoin life, to know that He's not dead, but that He is with us in our life's journey. In another piece, Buechner writes, "Religion has often been denounced as escapism, and it often is. To deny the prevalence of pain in the world and the perennial popularity of evil, to abdicate responsibility for them by assuming that God will take care of them very nicely on God's own, to accept them as divine judgment upon the sins, especially of other people, to dismiss them or to encourage others to dismiss them by stressing the promise of pie in the sky, to pretend like a forest-lawn cosmetologist that there's no such thing as death, to maintain your faith by refusing to face any nasty fact that threatens it. Freedom not from responsibility, though, freedom but for it. Escape not from reality, but into it." It's very interesting because this year our book study is studying the book by Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor, Learning to Walk in the Dark. And she talks about the fact that as we need to learn to walk in the dark, because it's in the dark, often we can find holiness. We can find God. We can find hope and strength for our life's journey if we listen, if we stay in the darkness and don't flee from it too fast. And isn't that where the disciples are? Mentally, spiritually, they're in the dark when Jesus joins them and begins to talk to them. And in that darkness, it was later when they recognized that they had been touched by holiness. The holiness of God and Christ on the road. We hear them say to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while He was talking to us on the road, while He was opening the Scriptures to us?" And rather than staying cocooned in their home, they go back to Jerusalem that same night, where, when they get there, they hear other amazing stories about what had happened that day, about appearances of Jesus. And they tell their own. They share their own story of Jesus' presence in their lives on the road, in their darkness. They go back and continue the ministry, having had their own Pentecost event and living what Jesus taught them. They were filled with the Spirit and not with despair. The Lord had risen in their hearts. Yes, it is easy when life beats us down to go home and lick our wounds and protect ourselves. But today's story reminds us that God wants us to rejoin life, to continue to work for the risen Christ. And we will find that Christ has risen for us in going back. We will find healing for ourselves. For Tom, in our opening story, the time will come, with hopefully with the help of the community, that he will leave the cocoon of his home in the bottle and rejoin life. A life that honors his brother and the community that sustained him. He has a chance to find his way back because of Christ working through his community. Life is not for the faint-hearted. We all know that. It's tough for all of us at times. But our story reminds us that we can stay home, or we can go back. I think it's interesting to note that Emmaus is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So the disciples had walked a very heavy 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And after Jesus left them, they got up and they walked 7 miles back to Jerusalem, 14 miles in one day. And when I was in scouts, I walked 13, 14 mile hikes a couple of times. It's not easy walking. It's a lot of walking. Whenever life seems to knock us down, may we look for Jesus on our road. May we look for Jesus in friends and family who support us in those dark times. May we look for Jesus in prayer and worship. May we look for Jesus in reading the Scriptures. The promise is, He is there. We just may not recognize it right away. When life knocks us down, we need to ask ourselves, do I want to go home? Or do I want to go back? I hope the answer is, I need to go back.